Welcome everyone to the Open in Indiana podcast, where we feature the people, places, and events that make Indiana a great place to live, work, and visit. Today, our guest is Joe Albano, who is the owner of Logica International. Joe, how are you doing today?
I am doing great, Ryan. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's a beautiful day here in Indianapolis.
It is.
So, Joe, let's talk a little bit about your company and how you got started.
Wow. Well, Logica has been around for 20 years, and back 20 years ago, we started by doing a lot of large-scale organizational change work. So we worked literally around the globe. We've worked with executives from more than half of the companies that make up the Dow Jones Industrial Average. About 8 years ago, we made a pretty significant pivot, and that really came about for a bunch of reasons, the biggest one being that I just didn't want to be on the road anymore. Travel was getting far less glamorous. It never really was all that glamorous, but it was getting a whole lot less glamorous. And certainly now, well, nobody's traveling, and the few people that have to are finding it really difficult. But the other and perhaps more important reason was that we decided we wanted to have local impact. We saw the way that work was being structured in the world. You know, I came into my professional life at a time, it was the tail end of a time, but it was still a time when people talked about things like lifetime employment and people stayed at employers for 10, 20, 30 or more years. It's just not the way that the world works anymore. You know, you look at the statistics, we know that small and medium businesses are the job creators. We know that they are the backbone of the economy. And as we're seeing now, those small, local, community-based businesses play a really important role in the way that our cities and towns and communities operate. And so we wanted to have an impact there.
And so, Joe, what are some of the ways that you can help your clients?
So we're really focused on two things. The first thing that we do is we take people who have a great idea and say, I have a great idea, but I'm not quite sure how to turn this into a business. The joke that we sometimes tell is these are the people who show up at networking events and say, I have a really great idea. Why aren't I rich yet? And so we help them answer that question and help them discover what it's going to take, maybe not to be rich, but at least to have a sustainable and scalable business. And then the other way that we help our clients is we work with companies that have started and now they're starting to grow. And one of the big problems that we see is that very often companies will grow faster than their leadership capabilities. There's a statistic that I read not too long ago that says that more companies go out of business as their revenues are increasing than do because their revenues are decreasing. They drown instead of starve. So as companies get bigger, they get more complex. You have employees to manage, you may have investors to manage, and all of that can get a little overwhelming, especially if you've never done it before. But we've all been taught to fake it till we make it. And so there's no place really safe for CEOs to go and say, I've never done this before. And it's kind of freaking me out a little bit. And that's what we create. We create peer support roundtables where executives can get together and they can do something that they very rarely get a chance to do. And that is tell each other the truth. There's an ex-Silicon Valley CEO that says one of the hardest things about being a CEO is there's literally no one that you can confide in. Because if you get a little too honest with your investors, they stop giving you money. If you get a little too honest with your key employees, they get nervous and they leave. And eventually, there's a conversation that may happen with your spouse or significant other that ends with something like, you know, I love you, honey, but now you're just freaking me out too. And so having that space to be able to explore and to be able to support and learn from each other is a really critical success factor.
And so, Joe, let's talk about your professional background and some of the things that you've done throughout your career.
Sure. So I've been doing this for a while, and I started my professional life, let's just say a while ago, with a degree in electrical engineering from Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute in fabulous Troy, New York. Got out of school, graduated by the skin of my teeth, and moved from the East Coast to the West Coast, lived in the San Francisco Bay Area for quite a number of years, and I started working for Hewlett-Packard. While I was working for Hewlett-Packard, I made a couple of important discoveries. The first, and probably the most important and most expensive, was that the last thing in the world I wanted to be was an engineer. Nothing against engineers, some of my best friends are engineers, but I just didn't have the crazy math skills that it was going to take to ever become really great as an engineer. But I also discovered that engineering, and in fact, all technical projects, very rarely fail because of the technology, but they often fail because of the sociology. And that I was pretty good at that people part of all of this. So with HP's help, I went back and I got a couple of more degrees. I have a Master of Arts in Management, and I actually have a PhD in Organizational Systems Psychology, which sounds more complicated than it is. It really is the study of how people work and play together, and really enjoyed doing that work. So I moved initially into doing internal consulting for HP. Of course, we're very big company and had a lot of internal projects going on, and then ultimately moved into doing work with HP's professional services organization, its consulting arm. So that's where I got a lot of opportunity to do work around the world. Got to work with executives from, I think we counted six continents. I've worked, actually physically worked on three or four, and lived on three different continents. So I actually lived outside the country a couple of times. What that did is it gave me a real opportunity to understand. Yeah, everybody talks about culture. We talk about corporate culture. We talk about community culture and all of those things. And it's important. But the first time I lived outside the country, I lived in Singapore for a while. And it really gave me an opportunity to understand very deeply what it means to work with a set of people who just have a fundamentally different view on life. And I just mean that because they grew up immersed in something that is completely different from what I grew up in. And it just gives you a lot of perspective. So I've been using that work and those lessons throughout my career. About 8 or 10 years ago, like I said, parted ways with HP for a number of reasons. The travel got really weird. The company had changed. Still a series of great companies now. They've broken apart a couple of the companies, but still a lot of great companies and a lot of great people there. It was just time for me to do something different. So 3 or so years ago, we created the Indie Startup Challenge, which is a program that we've run once. When we started the Indie Startup Challenge, we had 17 companies join a 10-week bootcamp, which was all about what I told you about, turning an idea into a business. Of those 17 companies, 14 of them completed the 10-week program. And of the 14 companies that completed, at least 7 of those in one form or another are still around, and many of them have raised well over $1 million in investment funding and are doing really well. I mean, companies you may have heard of, companies like SnapShift and Pierce Aerospace. There's a company that has eventually become, they went through a couple of pivots and reorganizations, but now they're known as the Halo app, and they're doing some really amazing things with peer-to-peer lending, which has become really important as we're all trying to figure out what the next version of the economy is going to be. And they're helping people who are the most vulnerable, people who have low incomes, people who are living from paycheck to paycheck, which, as it turns out, according to some economic studies, is more than half of Americans. And really not just creating good businesses from a financial perspective, but companies that are doing good in the world. And what I hope we're going to be able to do soon and maybe move it onto a virtual platform is do another version of the Indie Startup Challenge.
Nice. And so, Joe, what are some things that you wish you knew when you were new to the entrepreneur world?
Wow. Gosh, we could do a whole series on that, but let me give you a few of the highlights. I think the most important thing for me, and I learned this both personally and it got really reinforced when we did the first Indie Startup Challenge, is the importance of being part of a community. You know, everybody says go out and find your mentors. Everybody says go out and find your trusted circle, and you know, you're the sum of the five or three or eight or however many people that are closest to you. But there's a little bit more to it than that, and that is, it's important to find people who understand that entrepreneurial perspective. Because what I've seen over and over again is people who will say, oh, yeah, you want to go out and start something. Well, you should go out and you should talk to Uncle Bob, because Uncle Bob was an executive vice president at IBM or at Lilly or Cummins or something like that, right? And you go and you talk to Uncle Bob, and Uncle Bob looks at you and says, well, gosh, you're a really bright guy. Why don't you just go out and get a job? And it's well-meant advice, but it's completely inappropriate advice because Uncle Bob just doesn't have that entrepreneurial perspective. So it's great to have supportive friends, but it's really important to have a circle of people that you trust who understand that entrepreneurial perspective. So that combined with, you know, I'll just give you two. And the second one is you don't have to do it all by yourself. You know, sometimes it really feels like, oh gosh, I'm just starting out and I want to save every last dime. And I'm not saying to go out and just spend all your money like crazy, but I'm also saying to make really smart investments. Now, I should not set up my own bookkeeping system. It's just not going to end well. You know, I should not do my own formation filing. So, you know, when I set up my LLC, I paid a lawyer to actually do the articles of formation. I think that's what they're called. And it wasn't that expensive. And they're done right. And it's just done and over with. So play to your strengths and, you know, shop wisely, but don't be afraid to go out and ask for help.
That's great advice. And Joe, how could our viewers and listeners contact you if they want to learn more about your business or the Indie Startup Challenge?
Well, there are a couple of places you can go. You can go to indiestartupchallenge.com. The website is out there. It's a little bit out of date, but you'll get some information about what the program looked like when it was in its live in-person format. Or you can write to me. My email is the letter J, Albano, and that's A-L-B-A-N-O, at Logica, that's L-O-G-I-K-A, dash USA.com.
Awesome. Well, Joe, thank you so much for being our guest today. And to everyone watching and listening, thank you for catching this episode of the Open in Indiana podcast. Catch our next episode soon.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Open in Indiana podcast. This podcast is produced by Henry Marketing Group, LLC, DBA, Open in Indiana. To listen to more episodes, visit www.openinindiana.com/shows. Thanks for listening.